Welcome to The Ether. Today's Thursday, May 19th, 2022. Today on The Ether, the VGX Community Mashup Episode 10 with Carnomaly and Scott Henninger, hosted by Big T. Let's take a listen.
Fun Twitter times.
Right, I know.
Imagine that happening when you have 5,000 people in the room and Obi's one of the keynote speakers. That was a nightmare. That was awful.
I also have Josh Taylor, my COO from my team, that will be joining. If you could make him a speaker as well, that would be great.
Absolutely. And Scott, I wanted to say thank you so much. I was messaging with Steve Ehrlich from Voyager. I let him know you're on here, and he said he just wanted me to tell you hello and he hopes you're doing well.
Awesome, yeah. Steve is, man, I don't know how that guy does it. It's like he's in a different city every time I talk to him.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely is. And, you know, it's interesting. He always makes himself, you know, accessible to the community. So that's something that we appreciate. And we appreciate you being here as well. You know, I've heard a lot of good things about your project from Tim. And I look forward to kind of doing a little bit more of a deep dive and kind of hearing from you about the ecosystem, about the products and services, a little bit about your history and those types of things. So, you know, we'll get started here. Let's say about 5 more minutes. Go ahead and let the room pull out a little bit more, and then we'll go ahead and get to the interview. But how's your day going, brother? You doing good?
Yeah, it's going good. Just a nice Thursday afternoon, about 90-something degrees here in Texas, and we're had some storms a few days ago that blew some shingles off the house. So I spent the first part of the morning meeting with the roofing guy to get that taken care of.
Oh, geez, was that from a tornado or what? What happened?
No, it was just, I think Monday night, we had one of those downburst storms come right over the Red River, right out of Oklahoma, about 60-mile-an-hour downburst winds. It came right through North Texas, and, man, it ripped shingles off 3 spots of the house. We had water leaking in the upstairs. But no tornado, but it was almost like a tornado.
Hey, Scott, tomorrow night we're going to be doing a Mavs watch party at Legacy Hall. If you want to come down and join us, it'd be some VGX folks there, Voyager folks there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I love Legacy Hall.
Yeah. So I think we're going to try to get down there before the game, make sure we got a good viewing spot. But yeah, if you're interested, feel free to shoot me a DM. So we'll Obi-Wan.
Last night's game was a little disappointing.
We won't talk about that. I know you're dealing with stuff with the roof. I lost my section of my fence. I got to get someone to come put it up. But otherwise, beautiful day.
I see we have Josh here. Josh, how you doing, brother?
Doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, doing great. Thank you so much for being here. We greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're happy to be here.
So we're going to go ahead and get it started here in about 3 minutes, guys. Once again, if you can retweet out the room, there's a plus button at the bottom right. That will go ahead and let people know that you're in this space and that we're live. We'll go ahead and get started. But, you know, I guess we can jump into the introduction part. So I want to start with Scott. Scott, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of, you know, why you started this project and, you know, what drew you to crypto to begin with?
Well, I spent 18 years in the car business, running dealerships, GSM finance director, GM for Honda, Hyundai, Cadillac, a lot of different manufacturers here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And basically saw a lot of opportunity for change inside of the automotive industry. I mean, really these third-party companies that are out there. So when people deal with car dealers, there's most of the time there's a go-between. People get online, they go to a cars.com or an Edmunds or a True Car, and then they get contact, you know, get in connection with the dealer, and then the process starts. And a lot of times it's very frustrating. And we would see that being in the, on the dealer side, is people would come in with certain expectations, and we would kind of have to reset those expectations. Such as, I went online and I found this car, and I want, this is a vehicle I want. But when I get to the dealership, I find out I have negative equity in my trade, or my credit is this. I can't afford that car. And now I got to find a different car and completely change the whole process. So I wanted to create something that made an easier process for consumers. But then I also saw the opportunity with blockchain and vehicle history reporting and the growth of crypto. And about 2017, I really realized that crypto's here to stay. This is going to be the future of currency around the world, where you're no longer pulling cash or checks out of your pocket to pay for things. So that's kind of where I said, man, I can create something in the automotive industry to fix these issues that I see, but also build it for the future of cryptocurrency, digital assets, rewards, and things like that.
Love it. And what about you, Josh? Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got involved, and
Yeah, so I got into crypto about 2017 is when I first invested. I had a buddy in 2016 that was telling me about it. And at that time, Bitcoin was at like $700. And I just didn't really do any research. I was real busy doing other stuff. And then that next year, Bitcoin was like right around $3,000. It had gone up significantly. And so at that time, everyone was like, oh man, this is the next thing. This is all this. So that's when it really started to pique my interest, and I did a whole bunch of research on crypto, and you know, proceeded to buy a hardware wallet, and I did some investing in that, and I just read up on so many different projects and what they were working to accomplish. And so it's been very interesting for me. And then you sort of fast forward a little while, and I met Scott and talked to him about Carnomaly, and I got involved at a little bit of a deeper level with him, just working on sort of the operation side. And then, I mean, at this point, we're just doing everything we can right now, putting out all the feelers and all that, doing a whole bunch of networking and, you know, just running hard and fast, trying to turn this thing into what we know it has the potential to be. And so we're making really good progress. And, yeah, so that's sort of how it all started, and you know, I'm just happy to be involved in this project. And but yeah, so I've had several businesses in the past that I've ran and sold my interest, and then switched over to doing different things. I've been involved in real estate. I've run restaurants, and in my earlier years, and so done more investing with some of the fruits from what came earlier, and. But business is business, and it's all about people and who you know and who you're working with. And I enjoy doing all that. And I enjoy cars and the potential that Carnomaly has. And I look at the things and the solutions that we're building out, and I know how much it'll help so many people, and the transparency that it's going to provide, and just all the benefits that we're going to be bringing. And it's just one of those things that gets me really, really excited. And so I'm just happy to be at the forefront of it.
Yeah. There we go. So I wanted to talk to you guys about, you know, kind of the way you view the automotive industry, the impairments that you see, or, you know, the struggles, and how Carnomaly can make things more efficient. And then ultimately, you know, in regards to the car token, how are you going to integrate that from a use case and utility standpoint going forward?
So our first solution that will be coming out on the App Store, Apple and Android, here in the next few months will be CarChain. And basically what CarChain is our hybrid creation of a vehicle history report. So currently, everyone's vehicle has a history, but you really don't have access to that information as an owner of a vehicle. So you have a Carfax report, you have a, there's another one called Auto Check report, you have those items, but you don't have the interaction with the data that's input into that report. So what we wanted to create was something written on blockchain that gives the user interaction with their vehicle's history, because after all, you're the one driving the vehicle. Therefore, you should have some input on the vehicle's history. And you're the one that has to accept the trade-in or the market value for that vehicle when you go to sell it or trade it. So with CarChain, you're able to use your phone through VinScan technology, which we have a beta version of this out, which we've been showing. And actually, we have another update coming out tomorrow in our Friday update. So with this, you're able to take your phone, scan your the barcode of your vehicle, which is usually on your door jamb. That starts your camera on your phone to start a recording process that can capture things on your vehicle, such as the miles. So for instance, if I want to update my miles, I go into my Carnomaly app, go into my CarChain. In my garage, I might have several cars in my family. So I go to the particular car I want to update. I scan the barcode. It then starts the camera. I show the miles on the car, and it then uploads that and writes that input to my vehicle's history report. Now, by doing these things, I earn rewards. So think of it as a hotel or an airline reward. So I start earning and accumulating points. As I accumulate these points throughout the year, I am gaining status and I'm earning car tokens that I can then use later on down the road to pay for a service of a vehicle. I can use it as part of a down payment on a vehicle. I can just let it sit and keep holding it. I could take it to an exchange. These are all the different things you'll be able to do with the token and more as we continue to grow the ecosystem. But the first main function of the ecosystem will be the CarChain, vehicle history reports.
Yeah, I love that. That's actually pretty interesting. So in regards to the company, what is the value accrual mechanism behind that? Is this an LLC? Is this a registered company, or is this just strictly on the blockchain?
No, the company is an LLC. And our goal eventually is, we still haven't, we've had talks of, once we build the company, do we take it to a, do we take it public? Those are conversations. Do we keep it private? We're still having those conversations, and those things will be determined as time, as we go down the road. But what we want to build is something that, and I don't know who else is doing this in the crypto space, but we want to build a brick and mortar company that has its own infrastructure, its own revenue, but then it also has an ecosystem for a utility token. So we want to create that ecosystem to make the car token the automotive currency used around the world for anything automotive.
Yeah, that's badass. That really is, because I think one of the things that crypto lacks overall is a lot of projects don't actually generate revenue, and then it makes it very hard to pass different use cases and utilities that actually carry a value back to the participants of the network. So I think you guys are going to be doing that. Well, it sounds like you're going to be doing that in an interesting way. So what products and services do you guys sell as it stands right now in order to kind of get that off the ground?
Well, currently our first solution will be the CarChain solution. Then after that CarChain solution comes out and we start obtaining vehicle history from individuals, so we will start to build the car chain database with vehicles all over the world. So now what we are doing is we are building probably, my goal is down the road to have one of the most robust vehicle, vehicle data sources in the world. Because not only is it going to have inputs, it's also going to have video verifications. You're going to be able to do video walkarounds. You're going to be able to take photos. A lot of people that modify their vehicles, they add like a Jeep Wrangler. They add tires, wheels, and lift kits. And they spend upwards of $10,000 modifying this, these vehicles. Well, none of that information goes on your current vehicle's history report. With CarChain, you're going to be able to input those receipts, input the photos, where you had the work done, what you spent, and get a value attached to that on your vehicle's reputation score. Because your vehicle now has a higher value because you've added these items to the vehicle.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, actually. So in other words, and correct me if I'm wrong, we download this app, it will have a sticker that I can scan and I can update that, my car as it stands right now. So whether it's been in an accident, whether it's, had different types of upgrades, whether it's, interior has been redone, those types of things. And then you can go back to, who was working on it and those types of things. And that provides data to, now who's this data for? Is it for you guys? Are you going to sell the rights to the data, or how's that going to generate revenue?
So the data, as we continue to collect, we will start to use it for dealers. Dealers will be able to purchase certain blocks of, they might want to know who owns Ford Mustangs in this particular area. So we would be able to tell them, okay, here's the people that we have that own Ford Mustangs. Here's their miles on their car. Here's who's taking care of it. And they could actually do like a push notification through the app to basically say, hey, we're looking for Ford Mustangs if you're interested in trading. And you don't have to engage if you don't want to, but you can engage. But it's a very soft way of giving you an opportunity that we need used Ford Mustangs for our dealership. Are you interested? And the cool thing is the second phase of the app, which will be built within several months after that, will have dealer integration, where you would then be able to send a file of your vehicle to the dealer that has pictures, has your input, has what's called your CCR, which is a customer condition report. So as you're updating your vehicle, you will be updating certain things on the car, certain condition reports, but you'll be able to upload that to a dealer. A dealer will get that. He'll be able to see your car, see pictures, and make you an offer, make you a bid on your vehicle right then and there through the app. Very easy process. No back and forth haggling. You can accept the offer. You can make a counter offer, different things. And that's just one of the items that will be building into this solution. So we'll also have subscriptions from dealers. So that will be another revenue generating point for the company.
Yeah, I love this. I absolutely love this because, when you think about the history of people's vehicles and like the lifespan of a vehicle, it could be exchanged through multiple hands. Like I said, it could be in wrecks. There's a lot of valuable information that comes with the car history, but I don't think it necessarily reflects or is accurate to the value of the car itself. So the more data and the more information that you have in regards to a vehicle, the more somebody will want to purchase it. But then also you look at it from the dealer side, it's like, obviously the market's really hot right now for cars. Inflation's a real thing. It really is a seller's market. And so people are looking for all different kinds of deals. So I find that really interesting. I wanted to ask you about the tokenomics model. So can you talk about the supply, the max supply, the distribution, of the tokens? Where can you purchase it? And then, I guess there's an emission schedule, if I'm wrong. Please correct me, but can you talk about, all the tokenomics?
Well, currently the token is on Ethereum, and we're actually in the process of migrating to the AVEX network. And that process is, we're currently doing that with KuCoin is the exchange that we're on. So we'll be migrating over to AVEX. And the reason we did that was just for fees. The fees were a little bit, high on Ethereum, and we were waiting for them to come down, and they just, it just so inconsistent. We got introduced through Steve and through Landon, through the NASCAR sponsorship, to the AVEX guys. So we decided to make that change. During that, we've added some solutions over the last, the first token was minted, I want to say about 3 years ago. So during that, we've added so many solutions, and we've added staking that we up the supply. The current supply that's coming out will be 750 million. That will take care of rewards, staking incentives. And then what we will actually do, because we want to keep, we didn't want to go with an unlimited supply, because this is a reward token. So we'll be distributing rewards. But we didn't want to have an unlimited supply. So we said, how do we combat that? Well, to create the infinity effect of the token where it's never ending, we made the decision that we will put revenue from the company to buy tokens back so that we can continue to recirculate those through the rewards platform.
I love that. So not only does it have a buyback, which kind of adds a layer of, buy pressure to the token, you're also being smart with the longevity of it too, understanding that you only have a limited supply of tokens. Therefore, for the sustainability of it going forward, these are things that you have to think about, which I do like. So how many tokens are in the current supply as it stands right now? At least the circulating supply? You said the max supply is 750 million. But what is the current supply as it stands right now?
530 million.
Okay, so we still got about 220 million to go. Okay. All right. Tim, I wanted to open the floor up to question for you. Do you have any questions that you'd like to ask?
Sure. So well, one thing I'll add too that I liked about the app, I got to participate in, a phase of the testing. And when he mentioned scanning the barcode on it, the VIN number, and capturing the mileage, because I was curious about how that would work to be able to verify that it was legitimate, the actual information for the vehicle. So when you do scan that VIN number, it doesn't give you all day to decide which vehicle you want to select and scan the mileage for. It actually shows you moving from the VIN number in that vehicle to the dashboard, and there is a time limit. So if you didn't scan it in a certain amount of time, it actually shut off and you would have to start the process over. So that was something that I found pretty interesting, and I appreciated about that. But I would ask, when it comes to being successful as a company and as an organization, every road to success does come with challenges and obstacles. So I'd be curious to know, what do you see as some of the biggest hurdles that Carnomaly will have to cross in order to be successful?
Oh, you couldn't be more right on that. It is starting up a business, especially in the crypto space, definitely has its challenges. And we've learned a lot of, we've learned a lot by going through this process. And we always kind of joke around that if we could go back in time and have a do-over on several of these things, we would be so much further along, and we would be in such a better place. But then again, we wouldn't have learned the tough lessons that we had to learn. So some of the toughest challenges are just, when do you strategically do certain things? Like, we started really trying to advertise and get out there, but our app wasn't ready. So it was like, okay, we need to get the solution out. We need to put this in people's hands where they're touching it, feeling it, interacting with it. Then we pump up the marketing. Then we really start to put the name out there. And that's probably one of, I feel, the biggest mistakes was not waiting for the app to be live to really start pushing the, you know, the advertising and pushing the token and the longevity of the project.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I know in this environment, a lot of people get antsy, and if they, when they see your name, it's always win this and win that, and they want instant results, and it just doesn't work that way. So I can definitely appreciate that. So when we think about the state of the economy right now, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the economy, and a lot of people and businesses are in survival mode right now. So what are some of the measures that you all have in place to be able to weather the storm if it continues for much longer? How do you see yourself surviving that?
Well, I would say that we've been in survival mode for the last 3 years working on this project, being a startup, and we've made it through COVID. And that happened before we even launched our token or really even got going. COVID kind of happened and we had to buckle down and really just kind of change the way we were moving about things and how we were going to approach certain items. But we have a no give up mentality that never has been an option. But as times get tough, we will make adjustments to make sure that we come out and stay ahead of the economy. And I think the way you do that is by being transparent, being upfront, and having things that do change people's lives, what they need. So by bringing out automotive solutions that are not currently out there and having automotive solutions in this reward token, people don't have that right now. So giving them something new and they're able to earn rewards, that can stand the test of time of any economic downfall, in my opinion.
Yeah, and speaking to that, Tim, before, as far as you know, driving the revenue part of the business, it's interesting because there's something that's worth more than all the gold in the world, and it's data. Data is actually worth more than all the gold in the world, and so being that it's so valuable and that there's so much automotive data out there that exists that's just not organized and it's not utilized the way it can be. So building out CarChain, which CarChain is actually already built, it's on Hyperledger. We've integrated it into the app, and then once we launch the app, then you'll actually, as you've been able to see, you'll be able to utilize it. And the value that that's going to bring, not just to our company, to have all of that automotive data, but for creating transparency between the dealers and individuals seeking to purchase vehicles, but also for the dealers themselves, and just having easy access to a ton of information on these vehicles, so that when you do go to the dealer and you go to trade in, you're getting the value, so you feel satisfied. And it's going to solve so many issues. When right now the reason people feel like they've been stung by a bee when they leave the dealer is because the dealer doesn't know who you are. They don't know how you've driven or taken care of your vehicle, and so they're going to offer you as little as possible because they want to make sure that they stay in business. And at the end of the day, that's all it is. And so when you talk about the revenue thing, we're so close to having the app out there, and being the data is pretty much the most valuable thing in the world. We'll be able to host that and leverage it for dealers and for individuals. And in the future, we've been talking about it, and we have many different solutions that we're working on. But down the line, one of the things that we're working to build out is when you go to search for a vehicle, you'll be able to plug in not just make and model, but you'll be able to plug in like, hey, well, I'm a Royal Purple fan, so I want to find out what vehicles have been using Royal Purple, and I want a used one. And so you'll be able to plug that in, and boom, the CarChain will have that information. And so you'll have a vehicle that fits your criteria, but it also fits your maintenance schedule and those other things. And so just leveraging that is, it's a really powerful thing.
So in regards to, and sorry to cut you off, Tim, I just want to pop in a question before you continue.
You're good.
So in regards to one of the things that was like really cool, I mean, there's a lot of cool things to be honest with you, but you know, one of the things that really caught my eye is being able to utilize the car token in order to do scheduled maintenance or whatever. Have you been in talks with dealers, or like, can you walk me through what that looks like? Are you guys going to be in certain like Voyager Pay or like a point of sale system that accepts crypto? Like, how does that work and what does that look like?
Well, so going through this, you know, building this company out and going through and whiteboarding, you know, we really like to whiteboard certain things, say, okay, what are going to be the pros, the cons, what are the negatives, what roadblocks are we going to have? And we know for a fact that dealers don't want to touch the crypto. I was on a dealer side, you know, I ran dealerships, and that just adds another layer of things that dealers don't want to have to mess with, right? So how do we allow dealers to accept crypto when they don't actually touch the crypto? Well, through the app. So let's say you pull into a Mercedes dealership to service your Mercedes, and you have $50 worth of car tokens you've earned in rewards, and you want to apply that towards you have a $150 bill for an oil change, tire rotation, whatever they might have done to your vehicle. But you want to apply that $50. Well, what we do is we allow you to apply that to the bill through the dealer, a Cardomly dealer. And then at the end of the month, all of the individuals that redeemed tokens at that dealership, we would then pay that dealer a PO for all those tokens. So the dealer never actually has to touch the crypto. We facilitate all of that on our side.
Gotcha. So from an accounting and back end standpoint, you look at the value of the token at the time it's sold off and utilized for, and then somehow that'll communicate to the blockchain through like an API or some kind of system that communicates, correct?
Correct. We'll have a backup or a back end process set up through a bank and through an exchange that will handle all that. That won't be handled through us. That'll be handled through a third party. Just like if you know, like American Express, they actually settle out with the merchants. So it'll be the kind of the same process. We'll settle out with the merchant, with the dealer at the end of each month for any transactions that were done at their facility.
Gotcha. No, I like that. I think that's great. And I think it's a great use case and utility for the token. Adds a lot of utility. Especially, you know, once you have the data and once you have the application up and people are actually utilizing it, you're getting that data back. Now, let me ask you this, because I think the barrier of entry for any participant into a network is key, right? We want to make it as frictionless as possible in order for people to, you know, get into the ecosystem. So one of the things, there's an app that's called the StormX app, and StormX doesn't even make you hold the token to interact with it. However, if you download the app, you can still gain some benefits from it, which could be the barrier of entry. So say I don't hold the car token at all, right? And just say I'm interested in the technology behind it. I want to utilize the app. Is that going to be an option and a function where I can participate, see how it works, and then go into the token? Or is it you have to have certain levels of car token to be able to get onto the app?
100%. You could have been living under a rock for the last 50 years, and you can use the Cardomly app for your vehicle history report.
So fucking smart. That is so smart. That's awesome.
Yeah, we do. The rewards are there for the crypto token holders. If you're not a crypto token holder and you don't want to participate, you don't have to. And some people may not. They might not really care about that. But they'll still earn the points. They'll still be earning the rewards. They just might never redeem those for the token if they're not a token holder. But everyone will gain value because of their reputation score. So,
well,
on the vehicle.
Also, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, now on the vehicle history report, we have several points that determine your vehicle's history report. So the miles on the car, based on the market. Are you below or above average? That'll give you points. The maintenance you've done on your vehicle, the condition of your vehicle. Also, we've partnered with NINVITIS, which is the National Motor Vehicle Title Information Systems. So it's the government's title data. So you'll be able to actually get that through the Carnomaly app to gain more points if your car is never, you know, if you're a one owner, a two owner, a three owner, we can verify that information.
Yeah, this is badass. This is awesome. Because I'm thinking about, like, you know, I overanalyze everything, and I'm sure you can tell this by the questions. I think they're very valid. But I think about the addressable market for, you know, the product and service that you're releasing. And to me, there's a huge market out there, right? Like, everybody drives a damn car, right? Like, you have to. I mean, even if you're taking a transportation bus at some point, that gets junked or gets, you know, whatever. There's still data and history there. So I think that's a really interesting model. I like what I'm hearing so far. I wanted to go ahead and give the mic. I know Obi just said he parked. Obi, I didn't know if you had any questions. And then I want to go back to Tim to go over his list of questions, or Seffi. I know we have people who are requesting to speak as well. I wanted to give the hosts the opportunity to ask their questions. Then we'll go ahead and start accepting people up to speak. But I want to give the floor to Obi first. Then we'll go Seffi, and then we'll go back to Tim.
Yeah, no, I think through the course of listening, some of my questions have been answered. I really like the answer that moving away from Ethereum and going to Avalanche is key, because the fees there, I'm sure, you know, users aren't going to upload their gas receipt or their oil change if it costs them Ethereum fees to do so, right? So that's a real smart move that I like. I really like that answer. So in the case of the novice who doesn't care about the car token and they're using the platform, I'm hearing they're earning some kind of points, even if it's not awarded in the car token. Is it like a dual crediting system where you have like a points profile and a car token, or do you have to redeem points in the app for the car token? And if so, is that a dollar equivalency, or is it a ticket or points to car token equivalency?
So the profile score, your reputation of your vehicle, so it's called your vehicle's reputation score, that has zero tie-in to the car token. And that is on every car that is ever entered into the car chain. So the first time you scan your VIN and you update your miles on your car, it's going to generate an initial score based on the miles, based on your VIN, and the information that we pull. So there's an algorithm on the back end that will, so think of it as credit karma for your car. So now we generate a score. There's a possibility to get 1,000 points. So for instance, if I bought a brand new car, 2022 car, and drove off the lot and I entered it into the car chain, my score should be 1,000, correct? Because it's a brand new car. Well, first oil change is due. I don't do my oil change. Well, my score is going to drop a little bit, just like if I missed a payment on my credit. So now I missed an oil change. My score drops a little bit. When I do my oil change, my score is going to go back up. If I drive more miles than the average car, you know, that vehicle, my score goes down. If I drive less miles, I actually can gain some points back. The condition of the vehicle, as far as the tires, the wheels, the brakes, all these different things will affect your vehicle's reputation score. The more inputs you do into your vehicle's history, the more points you'll earn towards your vehicle's reputation score.
So Scott, and
is it the service place that's entering the scores and uploading, or are you doing that just with your receipts from the service shop? And as a follow-up to that, what if you rent your own vehicle?
So the score is determined by multiple things. The input that you do as a user, the input that's in your NINVITIS, your National Motor Vehicle Title Report, those determine your score. So your input, what you put in there, and also the input by service facilities. So all three of these items come together and create your vehicle's reputation score.
And then how is that information verified? Is that through, they send screenshots? Where is the verification on that?
So for instance, you go to a dealer to get your car serviced. They're going to give you a receipt at the end of the servicing. You're going to simply go into your car chain, go to your garage, pick that particular car, say add service. You click the add service button. It immediately brings up the VIN scan because everything starts with the VIN scan. To go back to Tim's point earlier, the VIN scan is what verifies the vehicle. Then it immediately starts, the camera is once you scan that VIN and it verifies that it's this car, it pings the blockchain for your car. Your car's VIN number is married to a VIN number on the blockchain. They're always tied together from now till the end of time. So every time you scan your VIN, we're writing to that vehicle's history. So now I scan my barcode. I then show the receipt for the maintenance. I hit submit. I submit that. Now that vehicle's, that oil change, tire rotation, I added new brakes, whatever it is, that just got added to my vehicle's history. And I just gained points for that.
Even if you're doing the work yourself, you're turning your own risk.
Yeah. Right. So that's one of the big things that we wanted to, because right now, say you have an older Corvette and you're the only one touching that Corvette. You don't want anyone's hands on it. You go down and you buy your oil, Mobil 1, you buy your filters, and you do it yourself. It's part of, you know, that's just what you want to do. Well, currently, that cannot go on any vehicle history report. But with CarChain, you're able to upload the picture where you bought the oil, the receipt, the receipt for the oil filter, and you're able to scan the VIN and upload a video showing that you just added the oil filter and take a picture of the items as you're doing it and upload that to your vehicle's history report.
Gotcha.
Got it. So going to the tokenomics, I appreciate that. That's helpful. So back to the tokenomics, the tokenomics are changing to 500 and something, some odd tokens right now as an ERC-20 to 750 million as an AVAX token. And there's some element of staking on that. Have those details been released on that particular change, what the staking yield would be for the token? And if it's, is it inflationary through tokenomics, or is it coming out of a pool from Carnomaly that's already pre-mined?
So it's coming out of a pool from Carnomaly. The staking is currently 20%. It's going to 25% until we have the apps released.
Okay. And it's the utility of the token is that it will be one day redeemable for services or maybe even perhaps purchases if you're able to secure enough arrangements with service shops and dealers.
Well, essentially, the arrangement with the dealers and service shops, by us being the one that converts and pays them fiat, like into their bank, mm-hmm. The onboarding for, let's say, Jiffy Lube is a service facility. That's going to be no different than a vendor like American Express or, MasterCard. People come, they swipe their cards, and they get balances settled out. So it would be that same effect. So they don't ever touch the crypto. So it would be who of them to come on board with this, because now they can officially say we accept crypto through Carnomaly, even though they don't have to touch it. So we just empowered dealers and service facilities to accept the future of currency, but they don't ever have to touch it.
Right. That's my point, though. Like, if I go to one of those places to pay for a service or buy a car or whatever this, you know, what it turns into, and I want to pay with the car tokens that I've been staking and accumulating because I'm an early investor in car, and I want to now redeem some of those tokens that I've accumulated for that service or that purchase. Are you taking those tokens back into the Carnomaly pool and then giving the fiat to the dealer? And are I having to sell those on the open market to get the cash value to then spend? Like, how does the token holder redeem their value.
So you would basically be holding tokens on the Carnomaly, in your Carnomaly wallet on the app. You would say you want to redeem. It would ping the current price, tell you how many you need to redeem for said oil change, and they would just be converted straight through us.
Okay, so it is behaving both as a utility token and a medium of exchange.
And a like a currency.
Right, that's the medium exchange part.
Yes, but, correct.
But there's no governance rights on the token, because that's Carnomaly's making the determination. Like, if you wanted to increase it from 750 million to a billion, what do the token holders have any say in how that happened and what happens there? Or are we just at the mercy of the company changing the tokenomics?
Well, essentially we changed the tokenomics because we added a lot of solutions and rewards to gain mass adoption and to bring more users and to be able to have longevity for the token, and also do the buyback where we're taking revenue from the company to continue that ebb and flow of tokens being on the market and really creating that utility. So as far as will there ever be an unlimited amount of tokens? No, we will never create an unlimited supply of tokens.
Right. But what guarantees do we have that it will never go beyond that fixed cap?
This is a utility token. So that's just going to be determined based on the growth. And if we are in every country and Carnomaly has dealerships all over the world, is 750 million tokens going to be enough for the use of the utility? Those are questions I can't answer as of right now.
Yeah, so that's a concern. Just that answer is a red flag for me. Just because if the token holders don't have any say in the direction of the utility program, there's no guarantee that their value would be diluted if Carnomaly decided to throw another 250 million because they launched in Southeast Asia. You understand, like, that would decrease the utility and rupture the trust in the ecosystem. So there needs to be something in place that guarantees a hard cap, or there needs to be governance rights so that the users are protected in the contract, so that the company can't dilute that value of the token holder.
Yeah, those are definitely good things that we should look at. And I understand that definitely the token holders want to have some sort of, you know, say in what's going to happen with the token, because you don't want to just all of a sudden, I mean, we just saw it with Luna, right? We just saw it just get crushed, right? And that's not at all what we, you know, we want to make sure that this has long-term sustainability, but we also want to make sure that the utility is there for that long-term growth.
Right.
So what would you recommend?
I think this is a great concept. But if I'm going to put money in as an investor into the token because I want to get some front run, some utility out of my vehicle purchases for the next 20 years, I don't want to have the risk of having that value diluted if Carnomaly decides to throw another billion tokens into the market. My share of the network ownership immediately decreases once that happens. If I don't have any governance rights into it, or there's no contractual hard cap in that token supply, that's something that's going to dissuade the educated investor from putting money into the token. It would just be pure utility use of the platform only, and no one would want to buy it.
Right. And then I also feel like, you know, when I think about this, and this is not a knock, like the whole idea is, like, I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's ingenious, honestly. You know, when I look at, you know, a token model that takes into consideration, hey, if the growth of the company hits a certain plateau, you know, then we have some kind of inflationary mechanism instead of hard capping it, going to a mechanism where, you know, say once you hold a certain amount, which puts, you know, holding pressure on the token, then you start earning a certain amount of staking rewards based on the amount that you hold. So not only are you keeping the tokens inside of the ecosystem, but the inflation that the company is giving is through tokenomics that's built into the actual program itself. Does that make sense? Whereas, like, yeah. say you do reach that plateau where it's worldwide and all these different things, at least you have inflation built into it. So if there is sell pressure and people want to cash in this value that they have, well, then it goes back to the token and that goes back into the open market. And now you have that supply. Obi, can you explain that a little bit better?
Yeah. So basically what it comes down to is, like, the reason that Bitcoin is valuable is because it has a fixed supply. It's deflationary, right? Its supply is determined by math. And you'd have to have consensus amongst the people that participate in the various aspects of the network. They'd have to come to consensus to change that, right? It's probably not very likely that the node operators and miners and holders would vote to do that, right? So there's a pretty firm agreement behind that tokenomics of trust that Bitcoin is going to be determined to only ever have 21 million supply.
So are you saying that there is the ability to add more Bitcoin if people voted for it?
Yeah. But
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. So, but that comes down to governance and consensus. So that's where I was asking, if you're going to have a proof of stake token that's on its main purpose is utility, so that people that use the app and the network they're incentivized to use the network because they're going to get rewarded in tokens, or the tokens that they purchase are going to grow in value over time as more people onboard onto the network. There needs to be a tokenomics model in which value can be verified by the code. So the utility holders ultimately need to have governance rights. It can't just be left up to the trust of a company, which could just arbitrarily change the code because they have full governance control over this utility token. So that's why I asked, is there governance in the token, and is that supply that's going to be changed when it moves to Avalanche, is it hard capped? Because if it's not hard capped and there's no governance, then we're literally just at the mercy of the company. Now, I know that the intention of the company is to create value and to not, to do those sorts of things, but that's a trust, right? You're asking everybody in the world to trust the system.
I know that the token, the Avalanche token, is hard capped at 999,999,000. So it can't go to a billion. I know it is hard capped there.
Yeah. So that's a different number than the 750 million we just heard. And then we just heard two different staking supply numbers. So you see, I'm concerned that this idea isn't fleshed out yet, and that it needs to be fleshed out in order to attract investors. It needs to have tokenomics with governance, and it needs to be available. And those are going to be things that exchanges are going to look for before they list it, right? How decentralized and distributed are the tokens? If they're just, you just create 750 million tokens out of thin air, you decide to have 500 in the open market, you have a reserve pool to incentivize staking, that's fine. But if there's no governance, say, or hard cap in the code of that token design, that's not going to attract people to come buy it unless they just completely know nothing about tokenomics. So there needs to be an element of governance introduced and or a fixed supply. And fixed supply is fine. If people know there's only ever going to be a billion tokens or 750 million tokens or whatever it is that's decided, that's fine, so long as that we know that there's a hard cap. So then as the company grows and the utility gains traction and people are incentivized to use the app, well, then when you expand into different jurisdictions, well, the price of the token is the price of the token and whatever the market decides the price is. It's not being decided on manipulation of supply.
And during the the process of moving over to Avalanche, the conversation and all of the functions that we've added since the first token was minted, the 530 million token was minted, like I said, almost three years ago, and that was when Carnomaly was simply the ability to buy and sell cars with a cryptocurrency. And since then, we have grown and we've added these rewards and everything, all these different functionalities. So during the conversation with the devs and the blockchain developers, it was, how are you going to maintain long-term, you know, sustainability, and how are you going to be able to continue to provide rewards if you have a limited supply? And the answer well, we need to have a limited supply, because tokens with unlimited supplies, they do what we just saw happen and we've seen happen with several other tokens, where they just go mint a bunch of tokens and, you know, Luna goes from a few billion tokens to trillions of tokens, right? So that's why we decided to move it to 750, but then we put in the cap, because those would be, as we scale up for rewards, those additional tokens would be released.
Yeah, so Luna is not the best example, because that was an elastic tokenomics model with two coins on the platform that were yin and yangs of one another. But, you know, something that you would compare your token to would be something like STMX token from StormX. So StormX has the utility token, which you get for shopping rewards, which you can stake, but it has a 10 billion fixed supply. And the staking comes out of the pool of tokens that the company owns, and they adjust that as the saturation increases, it gets adjusted down. So they were 20% like a year ago, for example, to incentivize people to come in and get on the app and stake. And then as more people bought up the tokens, they've decreased their staking rewards, which is fine, because we know it's hard capped at 10 billion, right? And then they released a secondary token for governance that would, you know, be required for all the people that participate and use the platform to vote on, make consensus on changes to the program. So that would be the kind of model I would recommend in something like a car token, is there needs to be the utility token, which you said earlier you would purchase when it's undervalued or when you needed more tokens to distribute. You would buy those off the open market with the revenue that you're capturing through the businesses with the car dealerships and the service providers, right? You would take a portion of that revenue to do car buybacks, right? And then you would use those buybacks to redistribute to the people using the platform, because they're the ones that value the token. So that would be the flywheel that you would have for the token, but it has to be contractually, this is the fixed hard cap supply, and here is the governance process if we ever want to adjust this and put it up for vote. Without those things, it's going to deter any savvy crypto investor.
Yeah, that makes complete sense, Obi. You know, and that's one thing we go back to. Like, if we had done this all over again, would we even be in the crypto space? Like, to develop out this app and have it on the blockchain, we didn't have to have a cryptocurrency. So we wanted to do that because, you know, it's just part of the blockchain technology and all that. And so we wanted to be involved at some level, because that would draw attention to Carnomaly. But it takes me back to the whole data thing, and the fact that we're going to be a real business first, and then we will have a crypto component. So we will incorporate the utility token. And we still need to flesh out all the final details on that, whether we do governance for the token. None of that stuff is finite at this point. We're still discussing those things. We're not hard set on any one thing, and we're also not going to go out and we haven't liquidated a bunch of tokens and just sold out. And, you know, we're not sitting here in the Bahamas just on boats laughing at all the people that put money in. This is something that we pour our heart and soul into, and the only thing that's going to stop us from taking this to where we believe it can go is if the good Lord calls us up. So there's some very good points that you made. We really appreciate that. All the feedback that we can get from people that are in the crypto space, a lot of that does help, and they are things that we are thinking about. And I understand your concern when it comes to the supply and what it's going to be, or if it could possibly go up. We don't have an additional minting feature beyond that hard cap that Scott mentioned earlier. So the only way that would be possible is if we were to migrate over to another blockchain or something like that. But we have no plans of doing that. The only reason we decided to migrate over to Avalanche is because of the fees that are incurred, not just by us, but by users on their end. And then to that end, if some people have had the question about when you perform maintenance and when you upload that to the blockchain, is there going to be a cost for that? The answer to that is no, because the car chain is built on Hyperledger. When you record any of your maintenance or anything like that. There are no fees incurred as a result of it. And so we are going to be adding obviously those utility functions to the token, but you won't have to spend any of them to upload your maintenance. So you know, that's one thing that we didn't want to have happen, where you have to spend money in order to get rewards back or something like that. Mm-hmm. It would make it a lot more confusing. And the Hyperledger sort of fit perfectly with what we were doing with CarChain, and then, you know, the scalability and all that, and just being able to host it there. And the blockchain developers have been really, really on point with all of that. And that was the first thing that we had built out. So, like I said earlier, the blockchain, the car chain is already built. We're just integrating it into the app so that when you do record the maintenance, it gets uploaded there. There's no fee for it. And then adding the and this is one thing too that I wanted to mention earlier. Being involved in the crypto space since 2017, you see so many different businesses out there where it's all hype and they have grand ideas and they are basically just a medium of exchange. There's nothing else behind them other than, you know, maybe some governance and some other stuff like that, but they don't have a working business model where they're generating revenue. They're just sort of propped up on whatever the token price is. And we're the sort of the opposite of that. We have a crypto component, but we are an actual business that's going to be operating with that crypto component. We see that as sort of the future as well. So many different businesses will be able to tokenize and have a crypto component that allows them to take advantage of the blockchain and the technologies therein, but also, you know, validate that with the business side of it and showing that, hey, we have the revenue, we have all this data. And, you know, it's not one of those things where, you know, like Facebook or Google, where they capture your data and they sell it off. This is going to allow dealers just full transparency between from dealer to dealer. And Scott can go into a deep, more detail on that, of just how frustrating it is working on the dealer side of it, knowing, you know, who to trust and knowing if you're taking a risk or not when you bring vehicles onto your lot. We've spoken with so many dealers who they thought it was a good idea to buy 50 of one model of vehicle. And if they had more information on those vehicles, they would have known that that wasn't a good idea. And so a lot of it too is us wanting to provide that information and that transparency to the dealers, and to be able to host all of that data is going to help us grow on the revenue side as well as just in this space as a regular operating company with real revenue, and then the crypto component as well.
Yeah, I think what you said there a little bit ago was, you want to get into the crypto space, but you know, it's a business that maybe doesn't even need it, right? If you have an app with utility, that's what your utility is unique vehicle records of data that can be used to benefit the consumers from having data that's behind walled gardens today, and dealers that would have value in being able to maybe solicit for vehicle supply. There's definitely some revenue generating opportunities there, but could that be easily administered through just a normal in-app ticketing system as opposed to having a blockchain token? Sure. So
the blockchain token is meant to pay out rewards so that somebody can earn rewards that they can redeem for certain items.
Right.
It sounds like you're wanting more of a token that is more of an investment security kind of pump token.
No, I'm saying that because when you started off the call, the comments were made is that it was more like an airlines or, you know, shopping utility type token, right?
Correct. 100%.
And but that doesn't need to be a token, right? I can get points for using airline services. I can get cash back for using a credit card at Costco. I can get money back for using a Voyager card and spend that cash.
Can like you the take Carnomaly, your American
Carnomaly could be tokens that you earn on the app that you can redeem for dollars that Carnomaly would give you a discount on your bill on. It doesn't have to be a blockchain utility token. You can use the blockchain tech to make the immutable records and verified ledgers that you would distribute back and forth with the dealers. But what I'm struggling with is, why have a token if that's the utility? If there is no hard cap, there is no governance, there is no investable nature of it, other than because the rewards program in terms of getting discounts on your bill and earning services for uploading information to the backend system, the backend database, the Hyperledger, that that can be accomplished. Like I could give you Obi bucks or Shroot dollars for that. It doesn't have to be a CAR token, right?
Right, but also these tokens you could then send to an exchange. You like American Airlines tokens, you can't go cash those out and put them in your bank account.
Yeah, right, so there's an advantage there. But I could also just accumulate Scott dollars and say I'd like to redeem these Scott dollars for the service because that's my incentive for using the app, right? Now, if it's going to be a traded token and it's got a hard cap and it's got governance in it, and I can go to my app and I could see proposals that Carnomaly's put up for vote, and the people that own the tokens get to vote on, yes, this is something we would like to see added as utility into the platform. Or
well, then you also have to make sure you also have to make sure that you're not stepping over that boundary of becoming a security. And well, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest fear in crypto. And the biggest fear with having a crypto token is we want to make sure that we have a utility because we don't want to step over that boundary of becoming a security token.
Correct. And that's exactly where I was going. Like by giving the community, you're not using the token to bootstrap or fund your business. This is a utility token, right? So it can't be misconstrued as a security so long as you keep it within the realm of earning tokens through use of the platform, right? That's what classifies as a utility. The moment you take funds from the token to fund operations of the business is where it becomes a security. So what you would need to do is with the token is make sure you keep it in that walled garden of utility. Make sure that you give potential investors a hard cap on the supply, a tokenomics change. If you're going to change the staking rewards, have some element of, you can maybe keep that in-house and control it, or you can put it up for governance. But there needs to be something that assures investors in code, right? That's the whole reason that tokens and smart contracts exist on the blockchain, is that the whole Byzantine generals argument, right? How do you establish trust between two parties? And it's been done with crypto, right? I don't have to trust that this treaty will be upheld when I own the token and Carnomaly decides to change the tokenomics, that trust is broken. So the whole benefit of having the token in the first place is that there's a smart contract that says this is the static, this is the fixed supply, and these tokens are used for doing these XYZ utilities laid out by Carnomaly. And whether or not Carnomaly wants to introduce governance, I think it's a smart thing, but you know, that's something you're going to have to figure out. But without that type of smart contract that says, here's the cap, here's the utility, here's the way we've earned it. And by the way, look, Carnomaly hasn't funded their operations by buying and selling of the token on exchanges. Then you don't have anything to worry about in terms of being misconstrued as a security. And the customer, the investor, whether they get the tokens from use of the platform or buying them on an exchange, because an exchange, having the whole token on exchange that you could cash out, you can only cash it out if someone's willing to buy it on the other end. So there has to be value there for the other person to want to buy it, right? If there isn't that trust and there isn't that market for it, then the token doesn't have any value because it wouldn't trade.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, in regards to the tokenomic model and what you guys are actually doing, I love it. I absolutely love it. And if you guys ever want to talk offline in regards to tokenomics and things that might make sense as far as structure, I'm sure Obi would be willing to have a conversation, myself as well, and just throw some ideas around at you guys, so you can see what we mean by like a value accrual mechanism. And then what incentivizes people to want to hold the token? And then ultimately, you know, how you can build a sustainable model where even if, say, there's inflation, but there's not a hard cap, at least you're able to build your reserves for your expansion. But people know what they're getting built into the tokenomics model. Because to Obi's point, you know, from an investment standpoint, if you buy an asset with the hopes of price appreciation, right? For instance, I'm a huge holder in the VGX token, right? That is a true use case and utility token. And the economic model behind that is there's many value accrual mechanisms, but there is inflation on the token because just like Voyager's customer base, your customer base is going to be inflationary, right? Meaning that there has to be some way to incentivize new users on the platform. So as opposed to having a hard cap, maybe working around some type of inflation into it, where we know what the emission schedule is going to be. And like Obi said, that the governance aspect, because the idea behind it, unbelievable, absolutely phenomenal. Like, I think this is an absolute game changer across the board. But me as an investor, if I'm going to take a sufficient amount of capital and park it into something, like to Obi's point, I want to know what the supply is going to be, what the emission schedule looks like, and then ultimately, you know, what is the value accrual mechanism behind that? I hope that makes sense. But like, to me, like, I love the idea. I love what you guys are doing. I think it's absolutely fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. I'd love to go into detail offline on it too. Like, I think the business idea is real good. That one of the other questions I had though was, what is the competitive positioning of Carnomaly? From, you know, there's what Carfax, there's, you know, all of these other, you know, merchants, you know, dealers, dealer networks, right? What if they decide to start doing a similar service using Hyperledger or blockchain for their service records or for their self-driving records and their tracking, right? They're going to have a lot of different data points that they would be able to, you know, turn into revenue models, not to mention that they actually own this, you know, the service network. So how does a startup compete with that embedded base? Is it mostly first mover advantage and a really good idea? And if so, like, are you partnering with any of these? Or is there anything that's been disclosed with strategic partnerships? I'm just curious, because it is kind of, it's always hard for startups to get the networking and the relationships, and then to be able to have enough capital to go fight the big players. Because, you know, the big players like to copy good ideas, and they sometimes will just, you know, through their brand recognition and their capital, kind of take those players out of the market.
So I'll answer that, and then I'll go back to the tokenomics real quick. On the tokenomics, I absolutely would love to have a few of you come on, get with us, be a tokenomics advisory team, and really go into detail offline and kind of nail down exactly what the best tokenomics are and have those discussions in that debate. So I would love to have a few people come on and be part of that. That would be great, because like I said in the beginning, I mean, we're car guys creating this ecosystem.
Scott, real quick, I just want to provide this insight to you. Just so you know, Obi's a CFO of a multi-billion-dollar company. Like, this is what he does for a living.
Yeah, well, I work in the CFO department, but yeah, I do manage a very large portfolio.
Well, but even better, right? Because that what we need is the help to make sure that we have that structured right, we have that done right, and we get it nailed down. So would definitely like to have that conversation offline and really go over those details. As far as the next question, basically we're creating solutions that don't exist. So they're first to market. And we also have a patent pending on the VinScan to verify a video image for a vehicle history report. So we have a patent filed on that. So we're trying to create something that doesn't exist, something that's not out there. Do I expect for us to be copied, for people to try to do what we're doing? Absolutely. But we're ahead of the game. We're going to be first to market. We're going to be out there. And as far as partnerships, I can tell you that one of the largest automotive companies that owns automotive data companies, I have been in talks with in the past, and we both signed NDAs and we had conversations. So there definitely is people out there looking at what we're doing, but we do have that patent. We did have those NDAs and we have some protection as far as that goes.
Scott, I want to say this, and Josh, I think you guys are fucking geniuses. I really do. I love everything that you guys are doing. I just want to be very clear. Like, with us, like, we have a lot of grit in the game, and as far as, like, you know, looking at projects, products, and services, dissecting, you know, team tokenomics, technology, addressable market. Like, you know, we call it our Obi has said this is his list of criteria when we look at investments. If you can make a true value accrual mechanism that makes people actually want to hold the token and work in a different tokenomics structure, I think you guys have the potential to, like, I mean, the sky's the limit. There's no doubt in my mind. So, like I said, like when we invite people up here, you know, we love to have an open discussion about obviously the things that we're passionate about. And I think you guys are doing a phenomenal job. I'm thoroughly impressed with as much thought as you guys put into this and what you're actually doing. I think it's, yeah, you know, kudos to you. I do want to bring up a couple of the listeners. If anybody wants to request to come up to speak and ask some questions, please feel free to do so. Make sure that you guys are respectful. If anybody acts like an asshole, they get kicked out. So just very clear. I'm going to bring up Mr. Rogers, and anybody else who wants to request to speak, please feel free to come up. Give me 1 second. Let me go ahead and bring him. Oh, it looks like he dropped off. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if he was stuck in the queue or what's going on. But if anybody has
any questions. It was your speech warning.
Yeah, I don't mess around. It's all about mutual respect here. Tim, do you have any more questions that you'd like to ask the team? Please feel free to do so.
I think that kind of that last question about the competitors and a competitive advantage for Carnomaly was the question that I had, you know, that I was going to ask. But I will ask this. So I think about, you know, with the migration, because I know that there are things that happen on the back end and people are invested or have bought into tokens and projects that may go through migrations. And for those that may not understand some of the nuances, are there some things that you might be able to share that happen on the back end that the average person may not understand so that when they experience that, they can be a little more patient with the process?
So going through a token migration, you know, I've never done that. This is our first time going through that. And you find out that you don't want there to still be ETH tokens in people's hands or exchanges that are still trading your old pair, because then people could try and, you know, go over there and sell them, and people could try and also go on Telegram and say, hey, see this Carnomaly token, it's trading, you know, so say for instance, we migrate to the AVEX and it's live on KuCoin, but you have a guy that has 10 million car tokens on the ETH pair. He could go on Telegram or on some other social media and say, hey, I'll sell you these Carnomaly tokens at 50% of the value. And he could catch somebody that maybe isn't paying attention or doesn't understand the different networks and sells them 10 million ETH car that is not even traded on an exchange anymore. So there's a process of having to get those tokens back, get the old ETH tokens in our possession so that to mitigate that from happening. But then also some of the exchanges, you know, you have to get them to migrate. Well, in the beginning, when we went through this process, we listed on some exchanges that we probably would have not listed on, like we said in the beginning, if we could go back in time. LaToken, X Markets. We would have never dealt with those exchanges, knowing what we know now. So those are some of the things that just slow down the process of the migration.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so I know it comes up and you hear people talk about migrating tokens. And I just wanted people to be able to have a little bit of insight for those that just had absolutely no clue of the things that go on the back end that a project team doesn't have control over.
Yeah, now that we've had this talk with Obi, it's almost like, are we ready to migrate? Do we need to redo the tokenomics first? You know, so. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to help good ideas progress forward. If you want to pick my brain for tokenomics, I'm happy to help.
No, absolutely. I would love to have an offline conversation and kind of go through some details and really, you know, make sure that we're making the right decision, because you don't want to do this multiple times. You want to do it and be done with it.
Yeah, because this idea is fucking kick ass. Like, there's no doubt about this. What you guys are actually doing, like, I truly believe in the tokenization of a value, right? Whatever that value is. If you can add and implement an economic model that makes sense for the average everyday investor to put capital forward for investment, you'll have price appreciation, and you'll have a reason to hold the token. And I truly believe in what you guys are doing. And I absolutely love it. And I think it'd be great if you talk to Obi and, you know, pick his brain. And yeah, what you guys are doing is kick ass. We are at our time limit, so I do want to give you guys the closing comments for the group. I want to personally thank you guys for being here. I've learned a lot. Like I said, I absolutely love what you guys are doing. I absolutely love it. And I'm excited for the future of it. And I would like to have more talks like this going forward. You know, we do have a pretty good audience and a good following here. And I love to keep highlighting, you know, your journey and what you guys are doing, because I really respect you, Scott. You know, Steve spoke highly of you, and I can see why. What you guys are setting out to do is phenomenal. But I wanted to give you and Josh the closing statements for the evening.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, Steve has definitely been a great advisor for us and helped us make some really great connections. As far as, you know, my closing statement, what I would say is Carnomaly has so much potential, and we are also very open-minded. We know what we need to do in the automotive space on the brick and mortar side. We know what we need to execute to be successful there. On the crypto side, man, crypto has been around for just, you know, we're not even in the second decade of crypto, right?
Yeah, we're only 10, yeah, about 11, 12 years in. Yeah, we're just getting
right
there.
So we are definitely open and have an open mind to get help for ideas, to make sure that we're doing the right thing, that we put our best foot forward on that side of the project, because we want it all to be successful. We want the whole thing to be successful, and that's our goal. And I mean, if you just, the name, and you look at that NASCAR that has Carnomaly on it, it just sounds like something that's going to be around for a long time, in my opinion. So that's what I'll close with.
I'll be in the pits on Saturday at the Motor Speedway as well. If you can't make Legacy Hall, maybe we can hook up.
Yeah, you guys should definitely do that. I think that'd be a great opportunity. I think you guys would really, I think that'd be really good. Honestly, really good. I want to go ahead and go to Josh. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks for having us on here. It was a pleasure getting to talk with you guys, and we look forward to future conversations. And we're just excited about the things that we're building. We're really excited to launch. We have got the app coming soon, and so just be looking out for that. And anyway, it was nice meeting all of you guys. And like Scott had said, very soon get on the phone with you guys and have some conversations and go over these different things so that we can make sure we're making all the right decisions as we move forward.
Yeah, I think you guys are doing a kick-ass job. And I want to give a special shout out to Tim. You know, Tim kind of put this together. He said, hey, would you be interested in interviewing these guys? And I said, heck yeah. And then I hosted the Twitter space with Steve. And Steve was like, yeah, you know, we love the guys over at Carnomaly. And that was just like my indicator of like, I got to talk to them. And the reason being is because, you know, Steve doesn't go out, generally speaking, and put his names on something. So when he puts his name on you guys, you know, I took it a lot more seriously. I wasn't aware of what it was prior. But now after listening to you guys speak and seeing what you guys are actually going after, you know, I'm super pumped. I'm really excited for the future, what you guys are doing. I think it's phenomenal. And I think you guys are going to be really successful. Just don't ever change. Like, keep putting your head down, working. You guys are kicking ass, and there's no doubt you're going to be successful. So, you know, that this concludes, you know, episode 10. Of the community mashup with you know, Scott and Carnomaly. And I just want to say thank you everybody for tuning in, and we'll check you guys later. Obi, thank you so much. Tim, thank you. Scott and Josh, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for hosting us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great job, guys. Fantastic job. Have a good night, everybody.
Oh, before they go, so, and Scott and Josh, I want to, you know, just tell you all to definitely keep pushing with this thing, and don't worry about taking the extra time to get things right. Because for the people that believe in what you're doing, they're going to understand that. And every project has a group of people that are always being pushy about now, now, now. And those aren't the people to necessarily be concerned with. Take the time you need to get it right. And those long-term investors, those sophisticated investors or savvy, as Obi mentioned, are going to be there. And I personally believe that you guys have a jewel that's going to be successful. So I just wanted to share that with you. So you all keep pushing.
Yeah, and I do want to say this too. There's some big investors in here. So there's, I just keep doing what you're doing. You definitely have my attention. There's no doubt about that. So just keep pushing forward, guys. Awesome job. Take care, everybody.
Y'all have a good one. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right. You have a great evening.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Voyager Community Mashup, Episode 10, with Carnomaly and Scott Henninger, hosted by Big T. Recorded on Thursday, May 19th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Been on a little bit of sin I've been giving. Try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits. Going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics, stretching out the distance. For instance, let me be specific. The risk is hedge funding the business, betting on the difference, ingesting all the research, sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first. Sleep tight, little dreamer. Early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor. Taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension, something to endear myself a little bit, something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. When it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling up, I'm in a bowl with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground soaring. I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little as to do with what everything is. But it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.
Terra Spaces.